Welcoming into the program from WBZ in Boston, the talented, the lovely Michael Hurley. Hello there, Michael.
Oh, thank you. That was nice. That's not true, but I appreciate it.
I like to throw those bouquets out when I can because you're a man of principle, you're a man of action, and you're not one to just to go light. You're going to jump in with both feet, and I'm seeing this on Twitter from earlier today. You're just making a very bold prediction about tomorrow night's game.
That's true. Thank you for pitting. I can see that the buzz is spreading from my prediction, and that is that we will actually see the Bills punter. I don't know how much. I don't know how often, but we will see that man kick a football. I just call it a hunch, but I've got a feeling.
All right. That's the kind of daring picks that we've come to expect from you through the years. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, The biggest concern defensively, I know we're talking about, you know, they didn't punt the last two times, despite Bill Belichick's objections, that is the case. The fact that they just went up against Justin Jefferson and did so poorly and now have to face Stephon Diggs, a guy they had trouble stopping when they had J.C. Jackson, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And I'm not predicting a Patriots win, but I am, again, predicting a Bills punt.
Was that Vikings loss the worst of the year?
No, I think the Bears was still, because I think it's a team you're still better than, a team you should have a better coach than, a team, even though the Patriots went into that game with two quarterbacks for no reason, you had a better quarterback then at the time, I want to say. Maybe, I don't know, Justin Fields has turned it on since then, but that felt like one at home on Monday night. You had no business losing, and they didn't just lose, they lost ugly. So Minnesota, I think, is better than them. So the fact that they could have won but didn't stings, but it wasn't a blown opportunity from that standpoint. I still think when it gets to the end of the year and they end up a win short, or if they end up a win short, that Chicago one's going to really still sting the most.
Some of the statistics the Patriots have compiled this season are nothing short of amazing, and you wrote about them at CBSNews.com. Let's start with red zone offense. Just atrocious.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me like I did, but as I recall, they're 31st in red zone scoring, which isn't really where you want to be. I think the Broncos are the only team worse than them, and they're a little bit. Actually, there's a big gap between them and 30th. So they are especially bad in the red zone, and we saw it last week. You know, Jonathan Jones gets the interception, returns it into the red zone, things are cooking, and they run a reverse and lose 7 yards. And don't score a touchdown. And it's just the week before against the Jets, they got to the 7-yard line and ended up all the way back, I want to say, at the 26th.
Right.
After a hold and a sack, and came up short on the field goal. So if you get to the 7-yard line and then your kicker ends up short on the field goal, you are just a special level of bad. And I asked Bill about it Friday morning, I guess it was. You know, do you have to change something philosophically? And the answer was just, well, we got to be better. And it's just one of those answers where it's like, you know, a real answer at some point would help, but we're not getting it. I remember I asked Patricia about it after 3 weeks because it was a bad, it was already a bad trend, and who knows what he said. It was a lot of words. But the point is, things tighten up in there, and the Patriots are responding poorly, and it's costing them games like we saw last week.
Yeah, touchdowns on just 38.7% of their red zone trips, and that ties into, I think, a trend that we see in third down and short, in fourth down conversions. This team is terrible in short yardage situations.
Yeah, and those, you know, you'd call them got to have it plays that decide the game. And I think that's where, you know, overall there are times when the offense looks fine and that's all right. But when you have an experienced play caller and a guy who's called plays in those critical moments, you are at an advantage. When you have a guy who has not called plays and not live through the headset in those moments, you don't have the advantage. And this season to me going in, the big story was coaching, and I left open the possibility that, you know, maybe I'm the idiot, maybe I'm wrong, maybe they have it all figured out, but they don't. And it's not just the play calling, it's the offensive line coaching. Who is in those guys' ears after they have another illegal formation penalty or another false start or another hold or another missed assignment? Matt Patricia's not down on a knee like Dante Scarnecchia used to be, telling them what they need to focus on the next drive. And those things add up. And, you know, talented players aren't as talented when they don't have good coaching. So It all maybe comes to a head in those third and twos, fourth and ones. I think they've converted 25% of their fourth downs this year, which tells you a lot about how they execute in those moments. And it's a team that's always been about execution, 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 and they can't do it this year. And what's changed is the coaching. So that's where I go with that.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe we have to give Mac Jones a pass on this season because of the situation that they've put him in. Even when he was healthy at the beginning of the season, they were putting him out there, I thought, a lot of times, giving him plays that didn't play to his strengths as a quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he's almost been begging for RPOs. He's been, you know, successful when given, you know, limited opportunities at play action. But I agree. It's hard not to judge the quarterback because he's the guy with the ball in his hands who can ultimately make a play or not make a play. But I just think if you want to be fair, you can't bury this kid in year two, given the circumstances he was in. And I don't know that it's going to get better next year, but I do know that when I look at this season and I watch this offense operate, my finger doesn't point to the quarterback. He's doing his best. Could he do better? Yeah. Has he thrown some bad picks? Of course. But I don't think he was put in a situation to succeed. So I can't really, blame him all that much for where he's at right now.
No, and as you mentioned, a lot of this is on the O-line, and you listed the numbers. This is remarkable. 20 offensive holding penalties, 13 false starts, 4 illegal formation penalties, 4 delay of game penalties, and 1 offensive penalty for too many men on the field. But wait, I thought Bill Belichick teams were supposed to be about discipline and execution.
Yeah, and that's funny. That holding number is 20, but 7 have been declined. So I'm sure if the Patriots or Bill were to give us this info, they would say 13, not 20. But you get to the Belichick response. I think it was Sunday at his press conference when he was asked about the penalties. He said, "Well, we didn't commit any penalties on offense the other day, and we've been one of the least penalized defenses in the league." And it's like, "Well, what are you talking about? Because overall, you commit way too many penalties to be winning close games." And I think, you know, that's where, not to make everything about Tom Brady, but during those Tom Brady years, you could overcome, you know, some sloppiness from time to time because you had a guy who could go out and drive the length of the field in 3 minutes. Now that you don't have that, the games are too tight and the margin of error is so slim that those little things add up. And even if they weren't making those mistakes, winning games would be hard enough. But when they are piling up the penalties, it's sort of just building a wall that you can't climb over. So I've kind of harped on Patricia and stuff, but I don't think it's just Patricia. You know, you look at Dante Scarnecchia leaving, Ivan Fears leaving, you look at all of the, you know, Josh McDaniels leaving. There's so many coaches with decades of experience in the system leaving, and they're either not being replaced or they're replaced by guys that haven't done it before. And I think it trickles down and shows itself. I don't think it's Bill himself. I think it's the coaching staff not being as good as it used to be as a whole.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Well, those are some of the offensive shortcomings they'll have to deal with tomorrow night. Now, maybe the bigger question, how do you stop Josh Allen? Because they haven't been tremendously successful doing that lately.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. I mean, the Bills haven't been, you know, firing on all cylinders for the past month or so. They've been maybe a little more vulnerable, but he's a guy that it just feels like, let's say the game's close, let's say it's 17-17 in the fourth quarter tomorrow, and it's a 3rd and 6, and the crowd is on its feet, and they get the play in, and Josh Allen's under the shotgun. I just feel like all of a sudden he'll be 40 yards downfield with the ball in his hands, you know, flipping it to the ref, and the game is flipped. I just feel like he isn't someone you can necessarily stop. He's a guy that if you want to beat, you typically have to outgun in a shootout, and I don't know that they're equipped to do that. So I don't think that's a failure or a shortcoming of the Patriots uniquely. I think that's a pretty common theme with trying to stop a player like that. And he definitely, ever since the end of the 2020 season when they came up to Gillette on a Monday night against the Cam Newton Patriots and absolutely whooped them, He's brought a little extra something when playing the Patriots. So doesn't look good in that regard.
Now, he has shown a tendency to turn the ball over a little bit more this season, including, I think, at least 2 interceptions in the end zone. But do the Patriots have to generate some pressure to make that more of a likelihood and, And even Matthew Judon hasn't been very successful against Josh Allen.
Yeah, just one sack last year, which I guess is good, but in three games out of the guy that had a great year, you'd want more than that. And, you know, honestly, last week is throwing me for a loop because I expected 5 to 8 sacks from the Patriots going against the Vikings team that had just given up 7 and had lost their left tackle. So it goes to show what a week-to-week game plan can do to change things. And I'm not sure what the Bills will do being without their tackle going against Judon. So the tricky part is you can get pressure on Josh Allen and he can just run away from you. And if you don't have gap control up the middle, he's gone, you know, and it's not as simple as whoever it may be back there, Zach Wilson just standing there clueless, who may have the athleticism but can't kill you with it. This guy kind of does it all, and Bill Belichick spoke to that earlier this week where, well, if you let him stay in the pocket, he's dangerous, and if you let him get out of the pocket, he's dangerous. So it's not that simple. I'm sure they'll get to him a couple times because of the way the Bills' offense operates and because they don't really have a running game in terms of not Josh Allen running the ball, so they'll be able to get after him, but I still think there'll be too many game-breaking plays from Allen's legs for that to really matter.
And we saw what Jefferson did against them last week. Who do they have that's going to be able to contain Stephon Diggs?
Diggs, and you've got Davis, and you remember Isaiah McKenzie had his breakout game last year at Gillette, so Dawson Knox had a couple touchdowns in the playoff game against the Patriots, so hands full would be an understatement. I'm glad I'm not on that defensive coaching staff this week. So it's going to be tough. I do think, you know, like I said, the Bills haven't been clicking perfectly. They almost lost to the Lions on Thanksgiving, so we can't lose sight of that. So for everything I've said, I feel like the Patriots will be competitive in this game. I don't think we're looking at another 47-17 blowout. People do forget in that game the Patriots had guys like Devontae Bosby and D'Angelo Ross and Joan Williams playing defense. It was the worst version of the Patriots possible. So they'll be competitive. They won't get, you know, blown out of their own stadium. They know what's at stake. They still have the leadership and all that. But I think ultimately the Bills have too much talent to be denied this victory and get the Patriots back to 500, setting up an interesting final month.
Yeah. So with 6 games left, Michael, what do you think? 4 wins at least to clinch a playoff spot?
It's tough because the Patriots have a kind of a tough schedule and a tough road, but so do the other teams. So do the Chargers, so do the Jets. So it's kind of too early still to try to prognosticate out everybody. But if you just look at the Patriots, like, you feel like they can go and beat the Cardinals. You feel like they can go and beat the Raiders. And then the Bengals have been such a wild card. Maybe they show up on Christmas Eve. Maybe they don't. Maybe that's a win. Maybe Miami on New Year's Day in the cold is a win. Who knows? And then week 18, you get the Bills, who, you know, with the one bye system in place, they might be locked in. With the way the Chiefs look, the Bills might be locked in to the 2 or 3 seed, and they might be resting guys knowing they got to play on wild card weekend. Maybe you can win that one. So I do think there's a path to win at least 3 more games. What that gets you, I don't know yet, but it's like I said, I don't know that the Jets are going to go on a sustained run. I don't know that the Chargers are good enough to really go on a sustained run. But whatever happens, I think the Patriots will be in it at least through Christmas. Maybe that Christmas game will be kind of the do-or-die point of really having realistic playoff odds. But I did write this the other day, and life was so much easier before we were playing with the playoff odd probability calculators with the New York Times and 538, clicking wins here, losses there, throw a tie in there. It's like all these math numbers. It was much easier when you were like, well, they're 12-1. Who's next?
Exactly.
But things change.
But you can bank on at least one Buffalo punt tomorrow night. That's what Michael says. I am in. I'm buying in on the Michael Hurley prediction there. Michael, we thank you as always. Enjoy the game, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Of course. And for the record, that guarantee is not a money-back guarantee. I'm going to have to live with it if I'm wrong.
You've done it before. You'll do it again.
That's true.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Michael Hurley with us on Downtown.